Thanks. I hope you found that a useful discussion. We had some great chats in the one I was in. What I'd like to do now is to go around the groups. I think there were eight, I think that's correct, and just have a few words from the person who hopefully was taking a few notes or remembering some of the highlights of what people said. Just a few words that will, and if those who were facilitating would like, if they can, if they made some notes, and they don't have a chance to say everything, to send those to us, so that'd be really useful. So if, I don't know if people know which number group they were in, we'll just go around the groups. So who would like to start off? We'll just take the first group, Andy.
So I was in group one, so
thank you.
Kickstart. Yeah, there was a really interesting discussion about, so some of the members in the group were involved in supporting volunteers, as well as, people with learning disabilities into work. And one of the obstacles they faced was many organizations that had traditionally taken volunteers with learning disabilities were not really very supportive of taking back people into those roles. So it very discriminatory that they were looking after able-bodied people first. So one way of bypassing that was really to try and create new, more community roles. So creating like a community ambassador role, so supporting people who might need to collect a prescription from the pharmacy or some local shopping, for an older member of the community. So, really trying to identify new types of volunteering roles. Another point was about social stories, which I believe is a tool that's often used in by special educational needs supporters who try to work with young children with neurodiversity. And it was used in a different context, thinking about creating social stories about, for example, going to the shop, using hand gel, going through that process of what it involves to go out in the community. And we heard about creating these short videos of actually illustrating what the process involves of going out can be really helpful for other people to see. So there were just a couple of key headlines.
Thanks ever so much, Andy. I think we were group two, Andy, I think that's right. So I'll go next if we're going through the order of the group. So in our group we discussed the challenge that organisations are faced when the pandemic began, having to adapt at speed to going online, but a steep learning curve, but a successful one. It was negotiated successfully. But this was actually the transition online was actually for some people was more comfortable for them to be online than be in person. And also with a national organization, obviously you can include more people in online when obviously only not everyone is able to travel to an in-person event. So it's a way to include more people in those networks. So that online aspect of work will continue for the organizations that were in our group. And also any meetings that you have, you can meet more often because they're on online. We also talked about the impact on well-being. That came up as a really important theme, and that was impact on both physical and mental well-being of the pandemic. So for example, people getting less exercise as a result of having to stay in during the pandemic or not able to attend classes at gyms and so on. And also people more aware, more conscious of that connection between mental and physical well-being. The pandemic made that clear. And there's a positive aspect to that too. So people now are more aware of the importance of keeping an eye on your well-being, both physical and mental. And the last thing we spoke about, thinking about what is needed for individuals and for organizations going forward, is about the technology platforms like Zoom and WhatsApp and so on are going to very much remain part of what people use. Not everyone is has all the skills that they need to use those platforms. So I think it's important for training for to be given, but also for that training to be accessible for people, and also for thinking about the guidelines of how to use WhatsApp, for example, to make sure everyone feels that they're in a supportive environment when they're using those tools like WhatsApp. Okay, I'll pause there and hand over to the next group. I'm not sure exactly who that is going to be, but someone can come in who was taking notes from another group that they were in. Laura, thanks very much.
I think we were three. So when talking about looking back and the challenges around IT, we acknowledge were really quite significant. And even when offering support that obviously could only be given remotely or even devices, you know, still the reach was fairly limited, and just acknowledging really that there's still a proportion of people that weren't able, you know, to engage under the circumstances. Really, that seemed to be an overwhelming challenge, certainly for the couple of self-advocacy organisations that were in the group. But really, you know, we moved quite quickly onto the looking ahead, and the positives of that are that actually, you know, they're now groups that couldn't connect before now can connect. So impact advocacy, we're saying that, you know, for groups that, you know, in different areas of West Sussex, that would be a long day in a train journey, and, you know, quite exhausting for people in those two groups if they want to connect and meet together. Now that can be done monthly on a regular basis, you know, because they're able to do that virtually. So that actually, you know, going forward is really, really beneficial. And I think, you know, that the group's general feeling was, you know, although things are improving, a cautious approach still needs to be taken. And we agreed that that was a really kind of, you know, sensible word to use, really, that the winter actually is quite an uncertain, scary time. And there's lots of things that we don't know what's going to happen going forward. You know, the guidance is ever changing and complex. You know, I think looking forward, we need to be cautious, although, you know, being able to have more interactions face to face have been, you know, so beneficial to the people the organization are supporting and the staff. I mean, you know, even the word moving was used when actually first being able to interact with people face to face, it was really quite a significant moment for lots of people. And it's a hope that that can continue in some way, shape or form, you know, going forward, despite the fact it may be a bit of a challenging winter. You know, the future is looking brighter, and there's a bit more hope that some of that can be retained, because, you know, some of those important moments, that online meetings, as good as they are, can be quite formal, and you don't get those conversations in the coffee queue, and those, you know, lovely human interactions really that can make quite a lot of difference to someone's well-being, and have that wider impact really for people. I think that was mostly a summary of what we said.
Thank you, Laura. Yes, that was very good.
Thanks.
Thanks so much, Lauren Kerry. That's great. Someone from another group that we've not had yet, who's got a few things to feedback to us, please. Anyone else would like to come on? Mel, hello.
Hi, we were group five, so I don't know that. I think you may have missed one, but I'll go next.
No worries. everyone will get a chance to speak. Thank you.
I scribbled down chaotic notes, but now I've organised them because I had time. So we talked about the future mostly, you know, and some of our priorities in a way. And I think in terms of future worries, there is that we talked about the issue of people, self-advocates, being anxious to go out and about. I think other people have talked about that. They've put on weight and lost fitness, maybe. So that's something for us to address going forward. People have lost some independence, so we might need to be tackling that. And then there is the significant group of people who have remained digitally excluded, so who can't use iPads and Zoom and all the rest of it. So that gives us a kind of to-do list in a way. But we weren't just talking about the negatives. In terms of future potential, I've teased out three things in our notes. One is that people now have got equipment, even if they're not using it, there is access to equipment. So there's a lot of potential in that. There's potential in use of Alexa as a verbally mediated technology that needs researching and playing around with. And there's potential for hybrid meetings for self-advocacy groups, some to be in person, some online. I think we all agree hybrid is hard to get right, and sometimes it's the worst of all worlds rather than the best of all worlds. But there is potential there for hybrid. So they're the kind of things we can work with. And then in terms of same old, I think we came back to so much depends on having good support staff. That hasn't changed, you know. Good support staff will help people to get connected, will address these anxieties and stuff going forward, and the bad ones won't. I think that's probably sums up our discussion.
Thanks very much, Mel. That's great. And that point, that last point about support staff, absolutely. That's at the heart of what happens in the near future. So thank you very much. Who have we not heard from so far? Is anyone else? I think.
Shall I talk on behalf? I don't know what number group we were in, but I was in a group with Palm and Matthew.
Yes, please. Thank you.
I'm unmuted now. Okay. We mainly talked about the shift to digital technology. And others have already said some of the points that we made, that it has pros and cons. And the need to try and keep the good things about it going forward, while also regaining the good things about being able to be face to face that we've lost and missed. But we made some points that others haven't mentioned. We said that some of the things that are pros to one person may be cons to a different person. For example, some people really don't like having to use an online portal to access their GP and would much prefer to be able to speak to a receptionist on the telephone. But for others, being able to use the online GP portals has been a boon. So there isn't a one size fits all solution. And the ideal situation we thought going forward would be to give people more options. So they have options to get meet face to face, but they also have options to join the meeting digitally. You know, they have options to speak to their GP face to face, but they also have the option to do that online. We thought that the move had been driven mainly by economics, you know, that the situation of COVID had forced lots of service providers and retailers and organizations' hands, as well as forcing people with disabilities and their supporters and carers to learn how to use technology that maybe they'd avoided before. And sometimes they found that there were great benefits to this. But for some people, they didn't like being forced to do it this way. So again, choice was a key theme. Some people are concerned that some of the benefits, because they were driven by economics and by the pandemic, that the benefits may be rolled back. And for a lot of disabled people, the ability to work from home, to do more things online, has been a lifeline. And they're worried that that will be taken away from them. Although we were also concerned about the people who are not in this room, the people who couldn't even access that. So, you know, the digital have-nots and people who for various other reasons are excluded. We were concerned about needing training for IT for supporters as well as for people with learning disabilities themselves, that sometimes it was the supporters' lack of training that was an obstacle. And we decided that the only thing that trumps economics is legislation. So companies and organisations will always do what's economically beneficial to them. And if that means giving people digital alternatives, they will. And if that means taking the digital alternatives away, they'll take them away. But if there are laws that they're obliged to follow because they're enforced, that can make them keep providing. So we want options. We want to keep all the good stuff about digital. We also want to have the ability to do all the good stuff about face-to-face and phone. We want to be able to choose the solutions that suit us.
Thanks ever so much, Mel. That's great. As you say, some points that haven't been covered so far, so really helpful to add to the list of the key points that are emerging from this discussion. Thank you very much. Who, as I say, I'm not keeping count of the groups. Alex, thank you.
Hi. I just wanted to come in. I'm not sure what number I was, but I think some of the points that we discussed in our group kind of carry on from Mel's, from their group's discussion, particularly around this idea that, you know, the finding the balance between a hybrid way of working, so some online events versus some in person. There was kind of a mix of feelings in terms of what people wanted moving forward. So I think it's about giving people choice about what they want there in terms of, you know, if they still want to continue attending events online, then they should be able to do so. But equally, some people really, really want and need that in-person face-to-face interaction. So I think, you know, we said that maybe one way to mitigate that, to strike that balance, is that maybe start with the bigger events to continue to be online, much in the way that much of our workplaces are continuing, you know, big events, big meetings online, but some of the smaller group activities or events or meetings to be in person, because they don't feel quite so intimidating and can be managed safely as well, you know, with social distancing measures and those sorts of things. In terms of looking back, you know, we talked about the feelings of boredom and social isolation that we all experienced, but also importantly, I think as well, the loss, as someone points out, the loss of social skills, about not, you know, not having those opportunities to connect with people, and how actually for many people those need to be regained. They those are things that have been lost. So I think I'm just ready, just got one final bit. Yeah, so I think, you know, so it's about either, whether that's online or in person, how you kind of re-establish those connections, and how you know, how you support people who might be feeling about anxious about meeting people online or in person, and also how you, and things like work-life balance. You know, we've been so used to working from home, how we help and support people to find that balance again in their lives. So I think those are some points thinking about moving forward. I hope that was a fair enough summary.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks very much. That's great. Thank you. And some really good points there about, as I say, trying to imagine the kind of the hybrid future and how to get the best of both worlds, really, of online and in person. Who have we not heard from yet? Which group has not had the opportunity to share their thoughts? Hi there, Michaela, thank you.
Hi everyone. I think a lot of our discussion points have already been covered, really. But just to share some highlights from our group, I really liked learning about how other people have learned, have worked creatively. We've discussed that, you know, to find different ways to get an input with people, how to educate people and get funding for devices, and not making any assumptions about how people, you know, want to access and how people can access technology. I think it's been mentioned already, how, you know, that has been a struggle to get support staff and support accommodation to support people sometimes. But obviously it has overall been really successful. People have all different kinds of activities going on, probably more than before in some cases, you know, some really interesting things, and people have saved a lot of money as well. But obviously I think going forward, I think Sarah was saying that most people really do want to get back face to face. But I think I enjoyed earlier just listening to different experiences, you know, about people with other health conditions, you know, making sure it's a blended experience going forward, and taking those good points. And I really think these sort of events in our group chat was good for sharing that information. We all said we want to share that information together, and kind of wish I'd done this earlier, actually. Thank you. I hope that summarised it, but you can feel free to put any other points in the chat from our group. Thank you.
Thanks, Michaela. Thanks ever so much for that. It was great. Have we still anyone still to go on from the groups that were? Zoe?
I think most of what we said has already been said, but looking back, we found that communication was really difficult without the help of organisations, so individual friends connecting. If they didn't have an address, then they couldn't write a letter. If they didn't have the mobile number, then without the organisation, so they were left quite isolated. Zoom was really great, but also it was hard to navigate at the beginning. You know, muting yourself so you're not all over talking over each other. And people could still feel quite isolated if you didn't have access to online Zoom things, because all their friends may be, but they'd be left behind. Looking ahead, it's really great to be able to start doing in-person things. But again, some people have maybe regressed since the pandemic aren't ready for meeting up. A lot of places are now also doing online booking forms, and that just isn't feasible for quite a lot of people. They're not easy read, they're difficult to navigate. And again, there isn't someone on the end of the phone who you can ring to answer. But apart from that, it's been quite positive looking forward. It definitely seems that we're going the right way. And I think as a group, we discussed how, although maybe not where we want to be, we're definitely heading the right way. So.
Thanks ever so much, Zoe, for those contributions. That's great. And to the rest of the group. Is that everyone now? Is that all of the groups being represented in the feedback? I hope everyone's had a chance to, I mean, you can write in the chat if there's things that you would like to add further, please write those in the chat there. So thanks ever so much for all of those discussions, all of those contributions that we've had from the breakout groups. This has been a really fantastic session. I'm going to make a couple of points to wrap up, but I'll invite my colleagues, Andy Power, Andy Coverdale, and Alex Kelly also, if they wish to come in on this. We, as I said, we have Mel Nind and Abigail Croydon from the research team also at the meeting. So I'll invite anyone else to come in with those contributions. I'll just say a couple of things and then I'll see if others want to say anything. I think this has been a really fantastic session. I think the most important thing is about the evidence of the activities of the organizations and individuals, how people were able to adapt to the restrictions that were evident in the pandemic, to think of new ways of working, new ways of connecting. The importance of those connections, I think, came through in all of those things. And how new opportunities to meet online, whilst not for everyone, and we have issues needing to make sure people get the right training, get the right access to being online, has opened up opportunities for people to meet more often, more people to get together from across larger areas. And that idea of having choice, having the option to be online, to be in person for different types of events has really come through. And then the final point is about the importance of self-advocates, of advocates, of support staff, to support people to be able to participate in this new normal situation that we are in now. And there's real evidence of innovation around that. I'm going to pause there. If anyone else wants to come in, well, from whoever's at the meeting, really. But, Andy, do you want to say a few words as well?
Yeah, I just wanted to echo your comments and just to thank everyone for their contributions. I will be collating you know, some of the key headlines from this, and I'll be sharing that via our website. So I'll be posting a blog with a bit of a summary of some of the key themes that we've touched on, and some of the challenges, but also some of that innovation.
Thanks, Andy. That's great. And so I just we're about to finish now. We're finishing on time, which is great. We still have a poll which Andy Coverdale will put on screen when we finish. So I please encourage you to do that poll. It'd be really useful for us to know what you thought of the webinar, what you'd like to what we could have done better, and also the opportunity to confirm if we can retain your details to contact you in the future. So I encourage you to do that poll. Just what we might do here, we're just about to finish, is to get a chance, if you wish, if you would like to, you can turn on your camera, and we can all say kind of hello to each other, goodbye to each other, and thank everyone for taking part. It's been great to see so many people here today, so many fantastic ideas and experiences have been shared, and we really do appreciate your time. And as Andy was saying, there will be a summary shared for all of you, so you know what was covered. And we encourage you to have a look at the website, have a look at the resource materials that people at Storesit with Andy Coverdale produced, and to share those and to use those resources. So that's all from me. Thanks again for everyone for coming. Thanks to my colleagues for organising the webinar. You can see the poll has come up now, so please take part in that when that appears, for you to have an opportunity to do that. And that's us done. So thanks ever so much for coming.
Thank you to you guys as well for making it go so smoothly.
Yeah, thank you to everybody that organised it. Hopefully we can get back together soon and do some more research.
Yeah.
Lovely to see you, Matt.
Thanks, everyone.
See you. Yeah.
Nice to see you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye all.
So just, could you just make sure you fill in the poll before you sign off? I can see if some of you have already been filling in the answers. And as Matt said, you know, we are really keen to keep this a live conversation, and in due course we hope to potentially do some further research and really try and find out more about what different organisations are doing.
I found the group discussion in our team with Group 8 fantastic, and we would like to keep in contact. But I'm sure there was lots of information, stories from other people which I missed. I apologise, I was in late. But I found it really beneficial, and if we did it again, I'd be happy to be involved. I think this is really good going forward. Many of us said, I wish this had happened a year or two before.
Yes.
It's a start. It's a good start. Much. Thank you for doing
thanks
this.
Thanks ever so much for that. And yeah, just thanks again to the speakers and to everyone who came. It's been great. So I see a lot of people are filling in the poll, which is great. Thanks ever so much for that. And yeah, once you've completed the poll, then that, you know, thanks ever so much for doing that. That feedback is really useful to us.